It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Students in Wheeling braved soggy weather late last week to carry through with a science project that let them rise way up above the clouds.
This is the first time we've ever had to launch in rain, so let's see what happens.
A weather balloon on a rainy day. That's coming up in just a few minutes. Stay with us. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. West Virginia first responders have voted unanimously to oppose any legislation that would reorganize the State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. The Intelligencer and Wheeling News Register reports the vote Friday from emergency management directors in all 55 counties in Moundsville was in anticipation of the introduction of a potential bill at an upcoming special legislative session. A similar bill died during the regular session earlier this year. The plan would establish the cabinet-level position of State Resiliency Officer under the State National Guard. The division has operated under the National Guard's authority since Governor Jim Justice's order in October. Justice said then the move would make the division more effective and efficient. Some emergency managers say they are civilians and don't want to be working within a military presence. Senator Elizabeth Warren spoke to a crowd of about 150 people in Mingo County Friday. As Carol Lofton reports, the Democratic presidential candidate mostly spoke to the opioid epidemic rather than her campaign agenda.
Warren spoke at the fire station in the small town of Kermit. She focused on her plan to tackle the opioid crisis.
Do you realize that across this country they have a less than 1 in 5 chance of being able to get the medical treatment that they need?
Warren said she proposed funding better treatment and prevention options by implementing an ultra-millionaire's tax on the richest 75,000 families in the United States.
Congressman Cummings from Baltimore, Maryland, and I have just introduced a bill to put in $100 billion in funding over the next 10 years to meet this crisis head on and to wipe it out.
The town of Kermit has been called the epicenter of the opioid epidemic after a Charleston Gazette Mail investigation found that more than 3 million prescription opioids have been shipped to a single pharmacy in the town of only 400 people over the course of 10 months. Outside the fire station, a small pro-Trump group held signs and cheered when passing cars honked their support. Emma Runyon, who is sporting a Trump sign and lapel pin, says she believes that Trump has kept every promise he has made to the people of West Virginia, and that Warren is using Kermit for political gain.
I know that Elizabeth Warren came down with her little package, you know, for the opioids. Well, we've had an opioid crisis for 15 to 20 years in this area, and she's been in Washington, D.C. for how many years, and I've never heard a peep out of her. It's like we don't exist. So thank you very much, Elizabeth, but you're using this to jumpstart your campaign, and that's a no-go for us.
Sister Therese Carew is a Franciscan nun who has lived in Kermit for the past 10 years, running Christian Help in Kermit, a thrift store and food pantry. As she waited outside for the meeting to start, she had similar questions about why now, but was also cautiously optimistic about Warren.
I'm interested to see why, other than her pursuit of presidential campaign, why the pursuit for funding now when I've been helping grandparents and strangers of kids and adults get help and help families get the money to bury their deceased loved ones who didn't make it through their addiction process, and why 10 years later other than your presidential pursuits?
Inside the fire station, Warren's message was met positively from the 150 or so attendees who clapped and nodded their heads as she spoke about the need for more resources and opportunities. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Carol Lofton in Mingo County, West Virginia.
Kids, parents, grandparents, and educators are getting together around West Virginia this week to celebrate non-traditional learning. As Glynis Board reports, it's part of a growing regional initiative to demonstrate and practice innovative education models.
A primary school in the northern panhandle, Wheeling Country Day School, hosted one of a series of public education events called Remake Learning Days.
Right now, the weather balloon is being filled up. and it's getting pretty, pretty big.
That's Sophie Toma. She's standing under an umbrella, smartphone in hand, Facebook live streaming the event.
It's much bigger than your average balloon. We're about ready to launch. Once we have two milk bottles that are halfway full, so once they start lifting off the ground, that's when we'll know that the weather balloon is ready to be launched and has enough helium.
Toma and her classmate Grace Mull make up the public relations team for the launch of a weather balloon, a science project that allows students here to explore a variety of science themes and practice a variety of 21st century skills like communication.
It's a tradition for fifth grade to launch the weather balloon.
It's one of the big fifth grade projects. It's our last deep dive before we graduate. This is the first time we've ever had to launch in rain, so let's see what happens.
The Weather Balloon Science Project is one of a series of public educational events being highlighted by Remake Learning. The network of individuals, organizations, and schools share a mission to promote a shift in educational practices toward engaging, relevant, and equitable models of education, according to their website. Head of Wheeling Country Day School, Liz Hoffreiter, says her school's educational philosophies align with this mission.
This is not a dog and pony show. This is what we would do even if no one was watching.
But parents and grandparents were watching, along with about half the school body. The director of Remake Learning, Sunana Chand, also came to witness the launch. Chand explains Remake Learning Days were created to provide opportunities for parents to connect with the innovative learning happening in kids' classrooms.
When we imagine education in our minds, we often imagine, you know, a teacher at the front of the class and rows of desks. And what we're celebrating is hands-on learning that's collaborative, that's creative, that gets kids really applying the knowledge rather than just kind of sitting and then regurgitating it on a test.
She says the event in Wheeling is one of 30 events in West Virginia and one of 900 across the country.
As our society moves to be more technologically advanced, we're thinking about, you know, how learning has to change. And a lot of that is making sure that we're giving kids opportunities to be creative problem solvers.
Event themes throughout the state include the arts, makers, outdoor learning, science, and technology. Public events are being held at museums, libraries, companies, and at schools like this one.
Everybody is on this side of the balloon, please. Except for, let's move this table over a bit more.
The rain did let up at Wheeling Country Day School. Most umbrellas were tucked away. Kids smiled for a group photo, and then they got down to business. The roughly 4-foot-tall weather balloon towing a 3-pound styrofoam cooler decorated in school colors and loaded with a few cameras, a figurine superhero, and GPS tracking took off into a cloudy sky.
I got a video of that! Ta-da!
Students in the project's recovery team tracked the balloon and drove 3.5 hours east with teachers to retrieve it. Remake Learning Days take place this year in West Virginia between May 9th and May 19th. Events are supported by the Grable Foundation, Claude Worthington Benedum Foundation, the Heinz Endowments, Google, UPMC, PNC Foundation, EQT, the Bull Foundation, and Covestro. This is the fourth year West Virginia has participated. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Ford in Wheeling.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:52. Cloudy skies today, periods of rain, high temperatures in the 40s and 50s, chance of rain tonight, lows in the 30s and 40s. Tomorrow, variable cloudiness, still a chance of rain with highs in the 50s and 60s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by ArtSpring, hosting the annual ArtSpring Festival Memorial Day weekend in Tucker County, featuring live music, art gallery shows, craft beer and spirits tour, and more. ArtspringWV.com. just on the other side of the Ohio River in Ashland, Kentucky. Aluminum company Brady Industries got a big financial boost recently when it announced a partnership with a massive Russian supplier. However, that Russian company was until recently under U.S. sanctions. The deal has raised further questions about Brady's financing, which already included millions from Kentucky taxpayers. Sydney Bowles has more.
Brady Industries has been hailed as a potential economic savior in a struggling part of Kentucky.
For years, we've seen industry leaving, workforce moving elsewhere because there were no jobs.
That's Justin Suttles, who works at a career center in Ashland. He says people ask about the high-paying jobs, as many as 1,000, that a new Brady Industries aluminum mill could bring.
This will be it's the injection we need to attract even more businesses to the area.
Brady Industries was such an attractive project that Kentucky's Republican Governor Matt Bevin offered significant tax breaks and invested $15 million in taxpayer dollars. A state investment fund is now a partial owner, along with Brady's CEO Craig Bouchard. But Bouchard still needed more investment capital. He found it in an unlikely place.
We're choosing here Rusal.
Bouchard announced in April a $200 million investment from Russian aluminum giant Rusal. Up until 4 months ago, Rusal was under federal sanctions. That's because its major owner at the time, Oleg Deripaska, was closely associated with Vladimir Putin and involved in what U.S. officials called malign activity. In an interview with The Resource, Bouchard says he doesn't know Deripaska.
Deripaska is someone I've never met, never talked with, don't know at all.
A rapid change in Rusal's legal status is raising eyebrows among some national security experts, and the unusual public investment from Kentucky means all taxpayers have a stake in the outcome. Michael Dobson was part of the U.S. Treasury Department team that imposed sanctions on Rusal.
U.S. government theory of the case is to show these oligarchs who, may be used as kind of extensions of the Kremlin and that they're not insulated from that conduct.
As far as Dobson is concerned, the Treasury Department was right to lift the sanctions. Deripaska stepped back from leadership and lost an estimated half of his net worth.
Deripaska took a significant haircut.
But other security experts disagree. Jeffrey Mankoff, a national security expert at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, says he doubts Deripaska is really out of the picture.
The commentary when that happened was that, this was kind of dubious and it was a bit of a legal fiction. That effectively he would still be in charge.
A bipartisan majority in the House voted to stop Treasury from lifting the sanctions. But Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky helped to defeat the measure. Sanctions were lifted, and months later, Rusal announced its $200 million investment in McConnell's home state. Mankoff says that raises some big questions.
McConnell, I don't know. Is he carrying water for Trump? I don't know. But given the inroads that various Russian operatives made into the campaign, I think it's worth at least asking the question what the game that people like McConnell are playing is.
A spokesperson for Senator McConnell declined to answer specific questions about this vote. Back in Kentucky, Brady CEO Bouchard isn't focused on the politics.
I'm going to rebuild Appalachian. I'm going to do it with the lowest carbon usage in the aluminum industry in the world.
Bouchard says Brady wanted to partner with Rusal because of its low-carbon production process, and the rest is just coincidence. If the Treasury comes to believe Deripaska is more involved in practice than he is on paper, sanctions could be reimposed, and that would make doing business for Brady a lot harder. Brady Industries expects to be operational by 2021. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Sydney Bowles in Ashland, Kentucky.
The Ohio Valley Resource is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.